session number 5191, Reel 2.
And so in years to come, when my child looks up in awe and says to me, "You know, Daddy, what did you do in the war?" I'll say, "We rounded all those Germans up in 1944. I'll say, "Look on the wall up there at that certificate. The Burgomaster gave it me by a little old church gate, somewhere away in Flanders, many years ago. I got it when I helped to make those nasty Nazis go." Sad one. Young Jock. It was the coldest winter my young bones ever knew. And in the shattered barracks, the inside walls froze too. We had clued up on this airfield in Belgium's war-torn land. And not a single hangar had been allowed to stand. And so it was 2-6, lads, to straighten out this place. But get it operational in spite of the master race. They sent us 4 Queen Marys loaded 10 feet high. When we saw the contents, they rippled round a sigh. Not tense to sleep in Shirley. 15 degrees below. So far we've dodged the bullets, we'll freeze to death in this snow. To sleep in? I should think so, the kindly chief, he said. Them tents is for the aircraft, get that right in your head. You're sleeping in the barracks when you've finished all this work. Meanwhile, unload them Marys, it'll warm you up, you perk. We set to with a will and spread that canvas on the deck. Then we could appreciate the size that was revealed. These tents were really hangar size and almost filled the field. The skeletons of timber slowly, painfully took shape. And boxes full of ice lock bolts were broken open then and used to fix the frames aloft by numbed and frozen men. You're the engineers, so up you go and make sure you don't slide. Astride the topmost ridge I worked, pals on either side. We saw them coming, screaming low across the frozen field. Their wings winked orange as the cannon spit their deadly seed. White puffs of snow like feathers rose, coming towards us fast. Then blinding roar and splintering wood and falling, whirling round, we wound up in a mental heap, down on the snowy ground. Seconds passed, it seemed like hours. I thought I was dead. I turned my head and it hurt like hell, and the snow upon my neck was red. Everything was working though, as I sat up in relief. A little flesh wound in the neck shouldn't cause much grief. But then I found a bloody Hun had got his money's worth. Poor young Jock had seen the last of his beloved Moray Firth. He always talked of sailing out of fishing on the tide. And now he lay on foreign soil with a bullet in his side. We buried him just close by, rolled in a blanket blue. Nothing else to put him in, the best that we could do. And Padre said, "How good and true old Jock's life had been." I wondered how he could say all. Poor Jock was just 18. "It's good. It's over," they said excitedly. "It's really the end of the war. This one's called VE Day." "Oh yes," I answered skeptically. "I've heard all that before. There'd been rumours of surrender for 7 days or more. Won't someone ask these Jerry just what they're fighting for? This time it's true and Hitler's dead. They've taken Gorin too. Brussels going raving mad. And in the Paris Zoo someone has painted an elephant red, white and blue. So it really is all over, these 6 long years of war. And I stand in the city of rubble and wonder what it was for. I gaze at the broken statue of a Roman with a lottled head. And I wonder what kind of a statue they will raise for our old time dead. Could it be as penned by Huxley, Brave New World once more? We've been hammered on the anvil of this lousy rotten war and we will never be the same as we have been. I saw the dying heroes. I stood beside death's door. I saw the sheer blind terror of a pilot on the floor, crying like a baby when he could take no more. they branded him a coward and made him sweep the floor. A man who'd flown the German skies since early in the war. So now the fighting's over and we have won our war. Let's lick our wounds. Thank God we're safe. Third Reich. This is just a short one about the airborne. It's called Arnhem Aftermath. I remember the field of Arnhem, where heroes fought and died. I heard the gliders overhead, like a reaper rustling his scythe. The boys fought well at Arnhem, for a cause that was lost from the start. Their position they knew was quite hopeless, but they finally fought with good heart. And so when I hear the town mentioned, my mind flashes back to that year when I looked on the wreckage of Arnhem, where the red berries fought without fear. And now at last, a humorous one. Johnny P. Did I tell you of my oppo, a man named Johnny P? Born and bred in Camden Town, a cockney to a T. His mind was like quicksilver. He had a ready grin. He'd laugh and find a way straight through any fit you're in. Confidence, bags of it, a certain rugged charm. And everywhere that Johnny went, the girl was on his arm. He worked well on the aircraft, an engineer like me. And we had come from Normandy up to the Baltic Sea. We'd seen a few things on the way and lost a few good mates. But Johnny's cheerful outlook had eased some of the aches. Now we were to be rewarded. It was the end of war. Home leave was in the offing. Who could ask for more? We went into a raffle to see who could go first. Johnny drew a cross like me, but as I was well versed, I wondered if he fiddled it, he wouldn't be unknown. But immediately dismissed the thought, we were going home. They sent us down to Cuxhaven. It was the nearest port. And if you smuggle any goods or loot and you get caught, you're straight back on the boat, my lad, and no harm leave for you. Well, war is war, and men are men. We all had a thing or two. But Johnny was the master of swap or find or buy. And he had rings aplenty to the devil some girls eye. Watches, at least a dozen strung around his neck. A Leica and binoculars relieved from Newbo wreck. A silver-plated Luger with a dodgy firing pin. Down get excited, Johnny said, I want to know one in. Get rid of them now, Johnny, you'll lose your leave for sure. You must be joking, then he said, it's what I've been waiting for. Wait till I get this one, then I'll have a treat. They've never seen the likes of this down in my old street. Now this lad spoke quite quickly, as some cockneys do. To talk himself through this lad, he'd need a word or two. Finally arrived at customs. The officer looked severe. And now Maya asks at Goldbraid, what have we got in here? Well, stutters Johnny, much to our great surprise. I've got some chop sweets for Mum, and he blinked his pale blue eyes. A few fags for the father, and my shave washing gear. And he twisted up the side of his face in a pathetic kind of leer. Now Goldbraid shook his knowing head and turned to his number two. It's pitiful to look at these boys and see what shell shock can do. With a soothing pat on Johnny's arm and a chalk cross on his bags. On your way, son, have a good leave. Hope Dad enjoys his fags. He switches back to his official stance and fixes me with an icy glance. Turn out your bag. Any watches or gold? Are you smuggling goods that could be sold? The few pounds I had for duty they took. Johnny, safe out, with silent laughter shook. A crook. This one's called The Pilgrimage, 1984. It's 40 years ago today since I landed in this Norman Bay. Memories stir in each grey head as we come to pay homage to boys long dead. We saw the place where our mates drowned. We stood again on the killing ground. We read the names on the crosses white and prayed and sang with all our might. Abide with me rang loud and clear, and every old face wet with tear. There's the bridge, that's the house. Remember old Geordie, or was it young Scouse? Well, anyway, he was a red beret, like Ron, who is here with me today. He lost an eye when his glider was hit, and he said he'd come back to look for it. At Aramonge, we marched through the square, bags of swank lads, Her Majesty's there. A shuffling army of elderly men seemed to suddenly snap back 40 years now, all in step with arms swinging high, the gaily eyes right as we marched by. The Frenchies made us welcome. They cheered and clapped us too, and some produced a bottle of extra special brew, a bottle they'd been saving, like all the French would do. They'd done the same for us before. We landed there in 44. And then to crown this longest day, Prince Charles asked me in the friendliest way what I'd done and where I'd been, and I shook the hand of the son of our Queen. To the end of my days, my old ears will ring the memory of thanks from our future King. We talked of the days of the bomb and the gun, of the places we'd been and things we had done. We talked of the boys who didn't come back, of Traffies and Gordy, Geordies, of Rummy and Mac. Cut right down in their prime they were, like corn before the sun, buried now beneath the ground where they had fought and died. And so we did our pilgrimage in 1984, and hoped in God we'd see the end of that obscenity called war. And now finally, just a small one called Armistice Day. Horse guards is where we always meet, 10,000 pairs of trudging feet, assembling there in cold November, just to prove we still remember, lest we forget the epitaph that draws us to the cemetery. The ghost of an army of slaughtered souls are there with us then as the drum rolls. Come back, Peter, come back, Paul, said the childhood rhyme on the nursery wall. But Peter and Paul, with a million more, never came back from that bloody war. And now, it's only the end of the tape here, I don't start another one. But that's the end of the wartime ones. I can turn over this year, listen to perhaps a few more cheerful ones. For rhyme, an anthology of poetry presented by Steve Twelvetree. This is one I wrote to that. It's called Westminster Whimsy. I wrote it because my son was always asking me questions about things. Westminster Whimsy. Daddy, what is Parliament? Well, it's a fine building, son, where some men have fun, waving paper and bleating like sheep. That is, unless they're asleep. If the agenda says crime or recession, they use their discretion and find urgent business elsewhere. Shall it be pheasant or perhaps the jugged hare? Now the chamber's quite empty, voters' problems are really a bore. But talk of MPs and their salary greed, and you won't get your foot in the door. Now up on the throne sits a lady well known, who loudly shouts order each time. But MPs ignore her, who wants to order, when they're full up with pheasant and wine. The members who rule us must think that they fool us, and preach to us as if without fault. But do what Mum says when you're eating your egg. Be ready with a good pinch of salt. This one's called Friendship. I wrote it for the twinning of Croydon and Arnhem when we lived up in Sussex, where it was 12, 14 years ago. It's called Friendship. Friendship can be a transient thing that breezes across our lives. A feeling that starts with a touch of a hand or a meaningful glance of the eyes. But a friendship that lasts forever, and wells too hard as one, is the feeling that's born of devotion, like the mother, like the love of a mother for son, like the bonding of peoples who suffer under one common foe and unite, to show all the world that their friendship is meaningful, constant and right. I remember the field of Arnhem, where heroes fought and died. I heard the gliders overhead, like a reaper rustling his sign. Boys fought well at Arnhem for a cause that was lost from the start. Their position they knew was quite hopeless, but they finally fought with good heart. And so when I hear that town mentioned, my mind flashes back to that year, when I looked on the wreckage of Arnhem, where the red berries fought without fear. From those ashes there rose a new phoenix, to forge a friendship then, a bond between Arnhem and Croydon, that would live in the memories of men. Now just a very short one. So I wrote the Bards Around Written Competition, included in the book that they published. It's called Pulp. With pad and pencil poised upon my knee, a pensive thought sometimes occurs to me. This pencil and this paper once were three. When death came slashing at the pine, who swung the axe to make this paper mine? Norwegian, Finn, or burly Scot? Fell that noble giant, and for what? Does any word put down by you or me warn the death of that so noble tree? And now this is one that I had printed in a rival press. They even paid me some money to print for this one. Starved to death of trying to live on poetry. It's called Surrey Dawn, and it's written when we used to live up in Norbury, Norwood. Surrey Dawn, it's called. The sun's soft glow through the purple cloud, shafts of daylight strong and proud. The birds' dawn chorus bursts anew. Down from tree and bush they flew, anxious for the scattered food, with first the pigeon's beak, the crust secured in pouting cheek, dashes off to consume his prize, hidden away from hungry eyes. The flowers nod in serried ranks, rooted in their grassy banks, fanned by the gentle zephyr breeze that drifts down through the stately trees. Nature's gentle scene is set, all is calm and peace, and yet the tufted grass is now astir. Baleful eye, a plaited fur, the feline predator is there. Belly crawling from his lair, the sudden spring, a flailing paw, striving to keep the jungle law. Bird and cat compete each day, the one to sing, the other to slay. Are we so wise, we human things? We try to kill when the whole world sings. Learn from the birds and share your bread before you hear the tree. This is another competition winner that they put in the book called Poetry Now, Southern England 2000, and I entitled it Grandad. Now Grandad had a windmill. It stood on Norfolk's plain. Its mighty sails turned granite wheels which ground the golden grain. My Grandad's flour was fine and pure, and prized for miles around, as better meal to make the bread. Nowhere to be found. I often stood as a boy and watched those great spoked wheels roll round, driven by giant oaken sails which made a creaking sound. Loads of grain came in the door and sacks of flour came out. And when those crusty loaves were baked, well, then there was no doubt my old granddad really knew just what he was about. If he were alive today and tried our wrapped in plastic bread, I'm sure he'd say in his Norfolk twang, "Are you lot off your head?" And that, I'm afraid, is about the sum total of the ones I can find at the moment. There are some more, but I think I've given you enough to get on with.